the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Well, tonight we are going to de-occult our world. We're going to look into the mystery schools and ancient religions and see how they have been utilized as forms of magic to control our minds. And along the way, you just might learn that you have satanic beliefs. Oh yeah, it's entirely possible and even probable that these Satanists have embedded themselves into your mind. And no one's going to show you this better than Mark Passio, the wonderful host of WhatOnEarthIsHappening.com, and also co-founding member of the Free Your Mind Conference. So I want to have a warm welcome here for Mark Passio. Mark, we have many of your listeners in the audience tonight. Great to have you here.
Freeman, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for inviting me onto your show.
Hey, you know, it's been a while. It's been a couple of FreemanTV.coms ago. there might be a new one in the works. Anyway, so, Free Your Mind is on its way, April 9th, 10th, and 11th, or is it 10th through 12th? April 10th through 12th.
Yeah, 10, 11, and 12, 2015. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's going to be held at the Sheraton, Bucks County in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just outside of Philadelphia. And the speakers lined up for it are just reads like an absolute who's who. The organizers have been doing a great job. I think this is going to be the biggest conference of its kind on the East Coast and throughout the whole year of 2015. They have Janice Barcello, myself, Stuart Swerdlow, Fritz Springmeier, Josie the Outlaw Wales, yourself, of course, Laura Eisenhower, Dennis McKenna, Luke Radowski, Lennon Honor, Bob Tuscan, Clint Richardson, Freighter X, Jay Parker, John Vibes, John Bush, Derek Bros, Ed Fortune, Mark Devlin, and Curtis, the Illuminated One Davis, all already lined up. More speakers will probably still be added as the event approaches. And this is going to be taking place at the Sheraton, Bucks County, that's in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, at 400 North Oxford Valley Road. People, get your tickets now because this conference is going to be one that you absolutely will not want to miss. You can go to FreeYourMindConference.com, read all about the event, and purchase your tickets now. The best way that you could help support an event like this is to get your tickets in advance because it helps to pay for all the speaker travel costs and lodging arrangements and the venue rental. So get your tickets in advance at FreeYourMindConference.com. This is going to be an event you're absolutely not going to want to miss this year.
Absolutely. And let me just tell you, listening audience, well, for one, it's going to be a great reunion for all of us that have come these last few years. But if you have missed this, you have no idea. This was the event felt like you had stepped back into time to the revolution and that all of the greatest philosophers in the world had come together, or at least of the nation, to gather together to bring forward these thoughts. You would have felt like you were standing in front of Thomas Paine or Thomas Jefferson and you know, even Benjamin Franklin. I don't know. For some reason, Mark, every time I think of your talk, I think of Benjamin Franklin. That's no bullshit, right?
Well, I'll take that as a high compliment.
I know. You know, it's like, good. I'm glad that you understand because it really is epic, guys. And this is life-changing, world-changing, and world-shattering, which is really what I'm going to shoot for tonight because I know Mark Passio has been working heavily on solution-oriented radio shows on What on Earth is Happening, his radio broadcast that comes out from Republic Broadcasting Network and on whatonearthishappening.com. And, you know, first of all, we need to start to understand a thing or two, you see, because all of a sudden there's new memes, clicks, and thoughts and ideas going through everybody's heads, and they think they're on top of things. And I see people running around, Mark, saying the Illuminati this, the Illuminati that. And, I mean, just to de-occult some of this right from the top, I would just like to say that the eye in the pyramid was never an Illuminati symbol. So let's start to identify some of the places where the memes, the consciousness, the misappropriations towards names, have all gone on, where we're now looking at this puzzle, thinking we're pointing at something, but we're really just pointing at a specter.
You know, everybody wants to basically point the finger outside of themselves and think that they're not actively contributing to the problem dynamic that's going on this planet. Most people are still in a mindset that is owned and controlled by someone else. And most people are in a mindset that is actually satanic. And people will say, oh, that can't be, that's not possible. Well, Satanism isn't what people think that it is. And the covert controllers of our world are indeed satanic. They are Satanists. In full knowledge, they're Satanists. They actively pursue the ideologies of Satanism, love them, and think that that is just how it should be.
If I could preempt something here, because when we hear the term Satanist, we immediately think of devil worship.
Yes.
So maybe we should start with the idea of what that Satanism really is.
Sure.
I know you were getting to that, but I want to clarify right at the beginning.
Right.
This is not a devil worship situation. So
not at all. Satanists, the ideology known as Satanism and called Satanism by Satanists themselves, has absolutely nothing to do with the worship of the notion of the Christian devil, okay? This archetypal evil personification is largely a result of religious thinking, and the people who are involved in Satanism and the satanic hierarchical network that is in place throughout our world, in the very overwhelming majority, let's say, do not accept that notion of the Christian devil and worship it, okay? Satanism is something entirely altogether different than what most people have believed that it is due to Hollywood romanticization concepts of Satanism, okay? You have to put all of those Hollywoodized versions of the occult out of your mind and understand that what Satanism, if I could encapsulate it in a nutshell, here's what my best definition of what Satanism overwhelmingly is all about. A Satanist is a person who, from the moment they wake up in the morning until the moment they go to sleep at night, the only thing that they are thinking about is themselves and how they can get more at the expense of anybody else, or at least they only care about themselves, and they could care less about the suffering of any other beings around them or the world situation as it stands. They do not think about anything wider than their own immediate self-preservation based needs.
So Paris,
that is Paris, what Satanism is.
Paris Hilton is a Satanist.
I would say that by that definition, the overwhelming majority of the American populace are Satanists.
There you have it. That's right. Because they all look up to this very ideal and carry on.
It's a me ideology. It's that basically I'm the most important person in the world, okay? All of my efforts should be used to do nothing except strive to get more for me. Okay, and that's where most people's mindset is at. Now, I'm not trying to say, hey, you know, people who are extremely poor or destitute, you know, shouldn't be concerned about the basic, you know, necessities of life that they require on a daily basis just to survive. I'm not, you know, trying to attack anybody who, you know, has to put some effort into keeping food on their table, clothes on their back, and shelter over their head, okay? What I'm talking about is people who are completely absorbed with the self, with the ego, with themselves and their own, and they never pull back their worldview to look at anything in any kind of a wider sense, to say, is what's going on in our whole society right? Is it moral? Will it really lead to the betterment of all people? Or is it something that is way off and we should be very concerned about and we should be actively trying to do something about? First of all, to learn about what's going on and then take action to do something about it to change it. By the definition of Satanism, you understand that our culture is satanic. And that's what Satanists do in order to create the control that we are under. They have to place people in a more mild form of the ideology that they're in at a higher level. See, because only the opposite polarity in consciousness would ever really be able to overcome and defeat this polarity of unconsciousness that's really in control of our world. So they obviously don't want the dynamic of that positive polarity of higher consciousness, higher vibratory consciousness to take root. They want to keep it in this low energy of pure selfishness, of not caring about what goes on in any kind of a wider sense other than the everyday events that take place in your limited scope, in your limited life. And they want people only focused on themselves and their own self-preservation. The concept of self-preservation being the highest rule or law in nature is the first tenet or ideological pillar of the satanic religion. Moral relativism is the second. And if you just strike up a conversation with the average person, and even many people out there in the listening audience may still believe this. I would hope that most of your audience does not. But, out in even in the freedom movement, the so-called truth movement, you will get a lot of moral relativists that believe that morality is only a construct that exists in the human mind, that right and wrong are just conceptual ideas that do not exist in the natural world of nature. And they are not objective standards, but rather man can decide at his whim or his preference what a right is at any given time. And then if they so choose, they could say, well, we no longer think that that's a right, and we could turn it into a wrong. Or they could do the exact opposite and say, this wrongdoing that is actually causing harm to others, it's a cause of someone else's harm. Well, we could delegate that as a right and say that this group of people have special permission to do that because let's say they're in government or something like that. This is what is called moral relativism, the idea that man gets to make up what right and wrong is for himself, that those aren't objective standards that are inherent to nature, and we are the arbiters of that decision. We are the arbiters of that preference. That's called moral relativism. And if you ask people out in the world, the vast majority of people, I would say the majority, maybe not the vast majority, but I would say it's a good 2 to 1 ratio. I'd say about, 2/3 of people are moral relativists out in our society, at least. And maybe 1 out of 3 are not moral relativists. They are moral objectivists and believe that there is such a thing as right and wrong. There is such a thing as good and evil. And they exist in nature because they are the entire concept of right and wrong hinges around behavioral decisions that then go into effect as actual actions in the world. Therefore, of course, these things exist in nature. We exist in nature. Our actions exist in nature. And therefore, of course, right and wrong behavior exists in nature. It's carried out on other beings. And it either is something that does not cause harm, in which case it is a right, or if that action is something that causes harm to another, then that's a wrongdoing. It's simple common sense, really, but the problem is most people don't have it. They don't have that simple common sense, which is what real conscience is all about, common sense. So most people are moral relativists, and that puts them in a position of also being in a satanic mindset, because that's the second major tenet of the satanic ideology. Social Darwinism and eugenics comprise the last two pillars of the satanic ideology or mindset. Social Darwinism being the idea that, well, since man gets to make up what right and wrong are, there's no real objective standards. And since self-preservation is the highest, law that we should basically set for ourselves, the highest goal we should try to attain for ourselves, well, then, it flows naturally that the most ruthless in society that do whatever they need to do to get to the top have some sort of a predestined right to rule over others. And that's just how it should be. That's the quote-unquote natural order of things. The so-called alphas get to rule the roost of society, so to speak. And, whatever they have to do to basically step on other people to keep those positions of power, it's just the natural order of things. This, of course, leads to the ideology of eugenics that, since those people's quote-unquote genetic makeup or their inherent qualities or characteristics got them to this position of rulership, that they get to essentially decide who lives and who must die. The controlling of breeding, the controlling of which genes get propagated through society, eugenics. And if you just look at these four basic tenets that comprise the satanic belief system, you see that the greater percentage of humanity, the overwhelming percentage of humanity, falls into at least one or two of these belief systems and believes in them wholeheartedly, like a religion. And I would say that makes someone a Satanist. It doesn't make a difference whether you understand you are or not. If you subscribe to that type of an ideology that I've just outlined there, nonetheless, you are a Satanist, whether you call yourself that or not.
And let me tell you, folks, Mark is one that knows. He was raised, brought up in the Church of Satan and was groomed as a high priest of the Church of Satan. And he's now an ex-Satanist turned vegetarian. So we're going to get a lot deeper into this. And you should know that this is an authority that you're hearing. And so therefore...
You know, I want to say I wasn't raised within it. I gravitated toward it in my late youth and, you know, around my late teen years. And I did become a priest. I would not call myself any sort of a high priest. There were different ranks of priests. I was a simple priest. You know, that's the rank that I held within that organization. I was appointed to that by the then high priest of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey. This was my ideology back earlier in my life until I began to understand that this hierarchical network of Satanists worldwide that did not just include the Church of Satan, I consider that that organization was a very low-level interface with the public to try to find people who were sympathetic to this type of an ideology and then psychologically vet them for higher levels of involvement in the satanic hierarchy and politics and think tanks and things like that. Okay. So this organization was just part of the network, part of the hierarchical network that's throughout the world of dark occultists in general.
Well, that'll lead right into what I had. So many people would say that man's morals are flawed and degrade, and that if there wasn't a religion or a Bible standing in between mankind and his right and wrong, that we would just degenerate into barbarity.
Yeah, the idea that man needs some sort of an intermediary or an authority called religion to basically guide his moral decision-making
now,
processes.
If I can just preempt real quick, I wanted to lead this from that concept to the idea that that the satanic belief system that so many people are now is programmed into the so many people now is an agenda. So I wanted to go from this concept of the belief of the moral Bible and that morality is only based out of this book and that humans would just be lost or monsters without it, and to the idea that there is actually an agenda out there by these elite that you're discussing that you were leading into to actually turn us into Satanists.
Oh, without any question. And it's not just an agenda. It's something I consider that they've already accomplished. Right. The vast overwhelming majority of human beings on this planet are Satanists and do not even know that they've been turned into the satanic rank and file, so to speak, which again is basically the concept that you just only care about yourself and you don't care about anything outside of yourself. You only care about your creature comforts. You only care about your base needs and being met. And you could care less about what kind of suffering's going on in the everyday world anywhere else outside of yourself or your own family. That's a satanic mindset. This idea that we can only attain any sense of morality from religion is utterly ridiculous because everybody's religion claims to be the correct one, and yet you don't see any of these people really leading extremely moral lives when it comes to the fact that most religionists condone government, most religionists condone violence being done by government in society and think that they have some kind of a moral right to do the things that they are doing. Most religionists never talk about the inherent illegitimacy of man's law. You know, they because they don't know natural law. They don't know God's law. They don't know real moral law. They think morality is a set of preferences and whims, just like man's law is a set of preferences and whims by politicians in any given area calling themselves government and saying, well, this is now illegal over here, this activity, you know, because we say it is. You know, that's what jurisdiction is. It comes from the Latin. Jus means just, J-U-S in Latin means law. You know, jus juris is how it's pronounced in Latin. The first part of jurisdiction comes from juris, the genitive of jus meaning law or right. And then diction, the word diction in English comes from dictare in Latin, which means to speak or to say. So you put them together, it means to say what the law is, to speak of the law. Jurisdiction literally in English comes from the Latin etymology, the words meaning to speak the law, meaning man through his words is making law as it is. We're just deciding on it by our speech, saying this is how it is, and then that's how it actually becomes. This is man being God. And any religionist, regardless of what their religion is, the basic postulation of religion is that there's a higher authority other than man in the universe, and presumably that higher power put laws into effect in the universe. They put all the natural laws of the universe into effect. And the main body of laws that I agree that the creative force put into effect, but that most religionists do not understand at all, and think that, you know, their specific dogmatic, prescriptions for how humanity should behave are the only correct ones, you know, and as I said, those are largely based on women preference anyway, you know, like, for example, I'll just give an example. Many Christians believe that homosexuality is somehow inherently immoral. Well, if there isn't coercion involved in an activity, if there isn't violence involved in an activity, then it's not inherently immoral. For a wrongdoing to take place, some form of coercion or theft has to be occurring, has to be enacted in the behavior between two or more people. And if something is consensual and voluntary, it is by definition moral. That doesn't mean you have to like it. That doesn't mean you have to agree to take part in it. That doesn't mean that you know it has to agree with your preferences or your tastes. But for other people to engage in it, that is a right. It's like the imbibing of any drugs or alcohol. Is that a right? Well, some people like it, some people don't. It agrees with some people, it doesn't agree with other people. Some people think that it's immoral, okay, behavior. But if I put a substance into my body of my own free will, if I own my body, which I do, it is my property, who gets to decide what goes in it but me? If somebody else is claiming that they can get to decide what goes in my body, that makes me their property or their slave, you know? This idea that morality is about a preference or a whim, you know, we could make this substance illegal because we don't like it or we don't think it's fit for other people's consumption because we don't think it's fit for our consumption. So we're going to prohibit everybody from taking it into their own body, you know? That's playing God. That's you saying that you own other people. And many people still can't understand that. They still can't see it like that because they're under this religious notion of morality is what my religion says that it is, you know, that it's going to tell me everything that is about right and wrong. And I don't have to analyze the behavior. I don't have to actually look at the behavior and say, is this something that puts me off as far as my taste or preference is concerned? Okay. In which case it may still very well be a moral behavior. Or is this something that actually involves coercion against somebody else's free will, their life, their rights, their property? You know, that's what makes something either moral or immoral. That if it's involving that level of coercion and violence, then it's immoral. It's an immoral act. If it's causing harm to somebody else, if it's usurping someone else's free will, if they are not hurting anybody else, you know, if they're involved in consensual activity, you know, if it's harming someone else's property, you know, that these are what wrongdoings are. They're things that cause harm. They're actions that cause harm to someone else. Therefore, by contrast, an action that does not cause harm to another being is a right, and someone can and should be allowed to engage in it freely without any coercive activity trying to stop them from engaging in that behavior. What we have in our society is religion acting in a capacity of moral relativism, telling people that the whims of my religion are what dictates right and wrong, not whether the behavior is a right, meaning it doesn't cause harm to others, or a wrong, meaning that it does cause harm to others through coercion and violence. This is what we have to understand about the real laws of morality that are in place in the universe. What I have simply called natural law, what other people have called moral law or karmic law or God's law, whatever name you want to apply to it is your own preference. But these laws are extant in reality. They're extant in nature itself because, again, we exist in nature and our behaviors are conducted in the natural world. Therefore, I like the term natural law, but you can call it spiritual law. You can call it cosmic moral law. Again, the label is, you know, somebody up to someone's preference. But what natural law is it's the solution to everything humanity is facing. The understanding of what is moral and what is not a moral behavior is the ultimate solution to what's going on in our world. The problem is that the more people who live out of harmony with these moral laws, which clearly delineate and define right behavior from wrong behavior, the more people who live outside of harmony with these laws, and then the aggregate of society, the overwhelming numbers of society follow in those footsteps, the more tyranny and enslavement that whole society experiences in the aggregate. The more people who do understand natural, spiritual, cosmic, moral law, whatever, God's law, whatever you want to call it, the more people who do understand the definitive difference between right and wrong behavior and then willfully choose the right behavior over the wrong behavior and stop engaging in coercion and violence and stop condoning it, the more people who align themselves with that higher spiritual law, then as more people do that in the aggregate sense, that society becomes freer and freer. They go out of bondage and enslavement and they become free beings that can then essentially create things that they would have not even imagined that they could do, that they could create. Their society has moved forward evolutionarily, and they go up to higher levels of consciousness and awareness and do greater and greater things. The reason our society is going backwards, it's reverting, it's devolving, is because less and less people understand what real morality is. They're trying to derive morality from the whims of a religion, which again is written by flawed men. It is not some divinely inspired word that God put into people's minds. It's written by men. It was often written by men for control. I mean, you just look at where the official canon of the Bible came from, and it came from the Council of Nicaea, which was put into effect by Roman emperors trying to essentially unite the empire under one religion, because the religion that was coming up was one that would have completely destroyed their authority. You know, it was a militant form of early Gnostic Christianity. And the people who were involved in that early form of it understood that there was no other authority except natural law. And that's God's law. And, you know, what they wanted to do was take the Roman Empire down. They didn't want these false authorities ruling over people and telling them what they could and could not do. You know, so the Roman Empire and the Flavian, the last Flavian emperors had to do something about that. And they had to put this possible rebellion down by inventing a religion based on their sun god, Sol Invictus. And that's where early Christianity really came from. You know, that's why they decided upon certain dogmatic beliefs in the official canon and wiped out anything, especially things from the Nag Hammadi scriptures, that did not agree with their religious dogmatic tenets that they wanted people, believing and living according to. This is the same for any other religion. It applies equally to, Islam or Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism or any other religion you could think of. It's all dogmatic beliefs. None of it is integral, meaning it takes an integral approach of taking what is good in every system of wisdom traditions, wherever they happen to come from, and bringing them together to form a synthesis. You know, that would be a much wiser approach, because you're getting information from an eclectic variety of sources. You're comparing and contrasting it. You're doing, you know, logical processes and transforms upon that information to weed out the inconsistencies. And then you're left with something that resembles reality and truth, you know, and your perceptions are coming tighter into alignment with reality and truth when you do that kind of a process. That's why I think all religion is just a method of holding people back from higher consciousness and truth. That being said, I do feel that many of them have core truths within them, but then those core truths are just basically washed over by all the dogmatic beliefs, and it puts a lot of people off to it as well. You're never going to find the truth in one area of endeavor. You know, I would never tell anybody, hey, look into Hermeticism. That has all the answers that you ever want to know. I would never tell people, look into Rosicrucianism. That has every answer. Or look into early Gnostic Christianity. That has all the answers. Nothing has all the answers. You have to be eclectic about your information gathering. You have to take an integral approach and not throw the baby out with the bathwater. You have to compare and contrast opposing viewpoints and ideas. That's how you form logic and reason. And that's how you come to have discernment and judgment about what is true and what is real and what is right, you know? And common sense just dictates right is actions that don't cause harm to other people. Don't do harm to other people's bodies, their freedom, their rights, their property, and things will be fine. You want to keep doing those things and supporting them in the form of supporting government, which is a coercive and violent entity, then you're going to continue to suffer, and you're going to continue to generate self-inflicted suffering, not only for yourself, but for your entire society. That's why we're in this mess. It's called the law of freedom.
Absolutely.
You know, as a society becomes more moral, they become more free. As they become more immoral, they become more enslaved.
All right, well, the key word in all of this is responsibility. And right now, people want to point their finger and say that group is responsible for all the ills in the world, right. Be it the Illuminati, the Jews, the Nazis. We got to point a finger and say they're responsible. So let's talk about responsibility, Mark.
Sure. You know, it all comes down to, first and foremost, what am I doing? Am I contributing to this dynamic of fear and negativity and coercion and violence throughout society? And you do that just by the way you think. That's first and foremost. That's number one. And the problem is most people don't want to take responsibility for their beliefs. They don't want to take responsibility for the way they think. And that means if you are a supporter or a condoner of government, of coercion, of violence in any form, you know, if you believe in taxation of any kind, you're part of the problem. If you believe in government of any kind, you're part of the problem. If you believe in prohibition of any kind, you're part of the problem. If you believe that someone else needs permission to exercise a right that they already have inherently, you're part of the problem. You know, people don't want real freedom because they're afraid of the responsibility that comes with real freedom. That's why so many people are still advocates of government violence and still say, I support police, I support military, I support all these government institutions that have done nothing in the history of humanity except cause suffering and death. And any, even a cursory, glance through world history would prove that that's the fact. But here's the other problem. There's such overwhelming ignorance. That's why people don't want responsibility, because they're ignorant children in their actual psychological makeup.
And you know, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I always want to make this point that ignorance is not a bad thing, right? Okay, I want people to understand that when you tell someone they're ignorant, you're not saying they're stupid, you're saying that they're unlearned, and that ignorance is actually a gift, because now you're open to learn everything. So I just want to throw that in there.
Well, I would look at it a little bit differently. I would say the capacity for intelligence is with most people. And I know a lot of people would say, oh, you're being pretty generous there, Mark. A lot of people who know the dynamic that's going on in the world. But I would say most people have the capacity for learning new things. That's what, you know, intelligence is all about. The ability to take in new information, process it, understand it, then do something with it. I would say ignorance is a willful choice. especially in an age where information is overwhelmingly present, knowledge is overwhelmingly present. I would look at nescience as something that is not negative, as something that is not willful. Nescience is a form of not knowing, as ignorance is a form of not knowing. These are two forms of not knowing, but connotatively, or I guess you could say colloquially, in everyday conversation, most people never use or hear the word nescience. So I'll even spell it for the listening audience. It's N-E-S-C-I-E-N-C-E, like N-E and then the word science, meaning no science. Again, I don't prop science up as a religion, but in general, the word science is derived from sciere, which means to know or to understand in Latin. It's where the word science came from in English. I look at most quote-unquote science that's going on today as just another religion funded by government. You know, it's a belief system, and people believe it's the only arbiter of truth. The very left-brained among us, you know, put all their, quote, faith in science and believe it's going to tell them the truth of the universe. I'm not a worshiper at the altar of science any more than I'm the worshiper at the altar of any religion. I just see science as another religion, as is government. The belief in authority is a religion. Money is a religion. All of these are false belief systems that take people away from truth and reality. But to go back to the premise here, nescience means to not know because one had no reasonable way of knowing. The information that was there, the information that they needed to understand was not there. It was not present. It means the information was actually absent from their ability to grasp, to take in. There was no mechanism or method for that happening. Ignorance, I see in stark contrast to nescience. Ignorance means that one is willfully ignoring something which is present. That's why it's called ignorance. It's ignorance. Right. You are in the presence of that knowledge, yet you are saying, I don't need to know it, or I don't want to know it, in hubris or apathy. Okay? Hubris will say, I already know everything I need to understand about this or that, and I'm ignoring that, okay, even though I don't know it. And it could help me understand the dynamic a little bit better.
Well, this is what most, a lot of that, all right.
Yeah. Most people do that with the occult because the word occult is an anathema to their belief system, and they generally don't even understand what it means, that it only means hidden knowledge. And it's the hidden knowledge about how the human psyche works and how it can be manipulated that they don't understand, and so they don't understand how those tactics of manipulation are being used against them. That's largely what comprises the occult. The other thing that comprises the occult is the workings of the spiritual laws of nature, not only the spiritual laws, the physical ones as well. All regular science, the physical sciences would fall into the realm of the occult, but then also the spiritual sciences, the spiritual laws of nature that governs the consequences of our decision-making processes and behaviors that we carry out as a result of those processes, that is also governed by spiritual law. And that spiritual law has been occulted or hidden so that people can't understand it. And it gives them religion in its place, okay, in place of that real knowledge and real information. But people who are willfully ignorant have chosen not to pay attention to knowledge that is right in front of them, that is being offered, that is at their disposal and at their fingertips if they choose to take it in, but they willfully refuse that knowledge. That, to me, is what defines a bad human being. You know, I kind of take the attitude a nescient human being is not necessarily a bad human being because it is through no fault of their own that they could not take in the prerequisite or required information to understanding something. An ignorant person I do see as a bad person because they've willfully chosen to ignore that information even though it could help and improve them. Capacity for learning, capacity for intelligence is altogether different. That is just where you're gauging actual ability of a person's brain, their psychological makeup, you know, how well they can take in and hold information and process it and come to an accurate understanding. I am quite, I would say I take a quite lenient or optimistic approach when it comes to people's capacity for understanding things. I mean, people generally can understand things if they put their mind to it and work with that information a little bit. I don't see people as deficient in their mental and psychological capacities for understanding. I see them deficient in their will to understand things.
It's true.
That's what ignorance is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You've got it there. The hubris, ignorance that we have to deal with as we become aware and awaken to these concepts of the occult and to the mechanizations of dark occulted politics. You know, the will for ignorance is one of the biggest trouble that any of us has as we try to interact with our fellow beings on planet Earth. And honestly, I feel this is one of our greatest challenges and our greatest strength, because we need as to bring to start to bring people into alignment with natural law. The first step, of course, is to inform them, right?
Well, you know, you've ever heard of that joke or that saying, that which cannot kill you can only make you stronger. Well, I look at this dynamic of trying to bring information to the willfully ignorant as one of those scenarios that, yeah. You know, it may not have killed me yet, but it has certainly made me stronger. And you have that joke, you know, well, hey, universe, I'm strong enough. Thank you. Now, can you give me a hand here? Yeah. You know, that's how I feel in these days, because, you know, doing this work can certainly take its toll on somebody, especially if they're very, very cognizant of the actual dynamics that are taking place societally.
It's sad.
It really puts you in a position of almost loneliness, because when you understand this and you understand how many people are ignorant of it and not even willing to discuss it, they're so fearful. They're so mind controlled. You know, they live in such closed-mindedness and apathy to what's going on around them because they're fearful about it. You know, they think, oh, there's that, they have that victim mentality, that woe is me mentality, that, oh, I'm just little me. What can I possibly do to change this dynamic? Well, the first thing you could do is change yourself and get out of your own ignorance. You know, it's a difficult process. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. You know, you're going to have to do a lot of deconditioning and reevaluation of your own belief systems, a reevaluation of how you've lived your life. You know, and most people don't want to do that. They don't want to look in that mirror. You know, they don't want that. That's what this really is all about, folks, is deep personal introspection about the beliefs you've formerly held and the ones you still hold and the ones you are staying attached to that don't serve who you are and don't serve humanity as a whole. At all. All they're doing is contributing. All those belief systems that most people are attached to and are so fearful of leaving at the door are the very things that are enslaving you. You know, they're not doing you any good. They never have. Just like government has never done you any good. Government has never been on anybody's side. It has just been there to control and enslave. That's what bad belief systems have been there to do. They've never really done anybody any good except put them in a comfort level, in a comfort zone, where they say, well, hey, this is all I know. You know, better the devil you know than the one you don't know, right? Wrong. You know what? Sometimes that devil that you know is going to get you killed. It's going to lead you over the cliff. You know, it's like people are just so fearful of what they don't understand. That's why they want to stay attached. Another reason they don't want to, they want to stay so attached to these belief systems that don't serve us is because they know that taking on, that getting rid of those inaccurate, erroneous belief systems and taking on the truth and taking the truth in themselves means that they need to have more personal responsibility for what's going on in this world. And most people don't want that. They just want to stay emotional children. They love it. And another thing I say to people and they get angry at me at is I say, most people love the world the way that it is. Most people love this world the way that it is. And that is an absolute 100% true statement, and there is no one on this planet that can refute the truth of that statement. The reason most people love the way that the world is because if they did not love it and they actually wanted to do something about it, it could not stay the way that it is. It's by definition, more people have to love and accept the world the way that it is than want to change it for it to stay the way that it is, by definition. Because if willpower were actively being applied, when you say, I don't like how this is, and I'm going to do something about it, then the dynamic would change. It would change actually very rapidly, you know? But most people are totally content to just essentially live like a kept animal on this planet. They don't care about freedom. They don't care about truth. Just do a social experiment. I ask people to just do social experiments with other people. Ask them to write down the three things they value most in life. And they'll write down family, friends, and health usually, but you will never see truth or freedom in that equation anywhere. You'll never see it in there, you know? Some people, you might get one or two. Hardly anybody ever writes down the word truth. You ask people, write down three words that are the most important thing to you in life. If you got one in 200 people that write down the word truth, you're doing good. That's why the world is the way that it is, folks. People don't care about what's real. They don't care about what's true. They want to live in illusion. They want to live in fantasy. They want to hear what they want to hear about what's real. They want to hear everything's going to work out and be okay. They want to hear good always triumphs over evil. It's all nonsense. It does not work out that way. Things do not just magically work out without the application of willpower. Action is required to change what is going on in our life. Action is required to change the current human condition. Without action applied, knowledge is meaningless. You have to learn what the problems are, make a diagnosis, and then understand the solution lies in changing your mind and then changing other people's minds from the support of coercion, violence, and domination to an understanding of what real freedom and real responsibility entails in this life. And most people, they hear that and they want to run a million miles an hour in the other direction from that because they don't want to grow up. They don't want to be cosmic adults. They want to be little psychological infants that are kept, like animals are kept. You know, that's what they want. You know, they don't want truth. They don't want the responsibility that comes along with understanding truth.
That's the truth.
Sadly.
Yes. You are listening to Mark Passio, and his website is whatonearthishappening.com. And you're going to find all kinds of insight into the dark psychology that is being utilized against you. Mark will be joining us in the members section this Monday, February 2nd, at 4 p.m. Eastern. Find all the details on the front page of freemantv.com. So if you want to participate and ask an ex-Satanist anything with Mark Passio, then just come on over to freemantv.com. It'll be right there on the front page, and it'll also be linked up in the members section. Have your questions ready, and if you want to participate, send your email to me at freeman@freemantv.com, and I will get you in the phone queue to talk with Mark. Mark, this has been an amazing discussion, and we're not done yet. I just wanted to make sure everybody knew what we had planned for the members' side.
Sure.
Because just to close this out, you guys, you're listening out there. You're telling me you didn't feel that passion. You should know that this is the passion that you feel at Free Your Mind Conference. This is, you feel it, you know it, and it's true. And you'll leave out of there motivated to start to make these changes. Now, I threw myself into chaos. If you want to connect it to the occult, I became the fool and was willing to throw myself out into a situation of unknowing, even maybe nescience, I'm not sure. But I found the universe and the people that I ran into to be generally loving, caring, generous beings that really were excited to help me along my way and excited to participate in this social experiment I was doing by being home free and just casting all the trappings of society aside and throwing myself into the hands of God. So, Mark, as we close this up, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the methodology of coming into balance with natural law, how we can recognize that, and then also just the idea that we can cast aside all of this very simply, mentally, and the world will shift with it.
Without any question, it is about a shift in fundamental human consciousness. That is possible. Will it be done is our choice. See, that's what free will choice is all about. Are you actually going to do this, you know, or is it just going to remain a conceptual idea that exists that some people have put into practice? But if enough do not, a quantum shift throughout society does not actually take place, and therefore society stays stagnated in the level of low consciousness and enslavement that it has come to. The answer lies in putting our will into alignment with universal will. And that means understanding natural law. It means understanding the laws that are universal, that are non-man-made. They're put into effect by the creator of the universe, whatever force, intelligence, spirit, being you want to look at that as. That's your choice. That's not up to me how you want to perceive that. Just understand it's a higher power than man. These laws are binding. They're immutable. That means that they're binding means that it doesn't make a difference whether you understand them or not. It doesn't make a difference whether you accept their existence or not. They are in effect, and they're unchangeable by anything that we can do. That's what immutable means. These conditions cannot be changed by man. No more than gravity can be taken out of the universe by man. And what they do is they govern the consequences of our behavior. They govern the consequences of the behavior of beings that have the capacity to understand the difference between right and wrong behavior. So once you understand there's a difference between right and wrong behavior, and I would suggest everybody has that capacity to deeply understand that, then you're bound by natural law. This is why people will say, how are we any different than the lion that goes out and hunts the gazelle out on the plains and kills them and eats them? You know, shouldn't we live according to that quote-unquote order, that natural order? No, because human beings aren't animals any more than animals are plants, or plants are single-celled bacterium. You know, there's a reason that there are different forms of consciousness in reality, in nature. You know, a human being is held to a higher standard than an animal, because a human being can think and understand the difference between right and wrong behavior and respect other beings' existences. You know, we don't live just by biological programming and instinct only like a animal does. And many people will think, oh, that's just fine. We should live according to those biological instincts only. And that's the quote natural order. You know what ideology that's called, Freeman? Satanism.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's another aspect of Satanism. Human beings are just another animal, and we should just basically live as beasts in the field do, doing whatever we want, and what the consequences are. You know, if you don't get caught, there aren't any. You know, that's another ideology that's contained in Satanism, you know, that we could just basically do whatever we want because, hey, if it's good for us, it's good. If it's bad for us, it's bad. That's satanic thinking. You know, the answer lies in getting out of satanic thinking and getting to the real spiritual understanding that law governs what happens to us in this reality, and you will never escape it. As long as you're in this 3D universe, you are bound by universal spiritual law. The end. Doesn't make a difference whether you like it or not. It's not true because I said it. It's like saying because Newton wrote down how gravity worked and recognized a few equations and wrote down some scientific equations about relationships that are in place because of gravity, that he somehow discovered it or invented it. No, it's just as ridiculous as claiming that because I and laying down what natural law works like, that I somehow think that it exists because I came up with the idea. I've recognized that these are laws that are in place. I did it experientially. I did it experimentally, like any scientist would do it. When I came out of Satanism in general, and I left all of that behind me, I actually, for 2 months of my life, Freeman, deliberately did harm to other people to see what would happen to my life. I willfully chose to do immoral things to other people for a whole two months of my existence. Then, 2 months following that, what I did is try to live as good and moral of a life as possible. And after those 2 months of doing things that I had no right to be doing in my life at all to other people, okay, nothing that, you know, impacted people for their entire lives, or certainly not, you know, deeply physically harmed them or killed them, okay? But I just did things that were, you know, purely selfish and completely ignorant of other people's rights and will and property, deliberately, to see what would happen. My life was so bad. It was, there was so much chaos in it at the end of that 2-month period that I said, thank God that part of the experiment is over, and maybe I could turn this around by what I'm about to do in the next two. This is how I learned natural law was real. I didn't learn it by a belief system. I read a lot about it, and I had to prove it to myself physically in the real world. After the following 2 months of just doing nothing but respecting other people, living in harmony with, you know, the real difference between right and wrong behavior, and not going out and willfully causing any harm to other people, and not condoning it, and living as morally as possible, the result was not only did all the other chaos in my life go away and calmed down, but I met people in the aftermath of that second 2 months where I was living in a moral capacity that have helped me, have transformed me, have basically become an integral part of my existence, that I probably never would have met or even come into the presence of had I been living differently than that. Natural law is something that can be experientially and experimentally tested. It is not a belief system. It is a science. It is an actual science about how the laws of nature work when we choose different behavioral decisions, when we choose different behaviors in our lives as a result of decision-making processes that we are engaging in our mind. And that is what people really need to understand if we're going to start to change this dynamic. They need to understand that the result of what we are getting is dependent upon how we choose to behave. If we continue to support and condone violence, we're going to get more slavery. If we choose, and if we understand first and foremost what real freedom is, that it is not being bound by the whims of any legislative, quote, authority, that authority itself vested in man is a complete illusion. And, you know, religionists would do well to understand this. People who claim to be Christian, people who claim to be Jewish, people who claim to be Muslim, you know, they think you can serve two masters. They think somehow God ordained government to have the, quote, rights or, quote, authority that it has, you know? I mean, if God's the only authority in creation and the laws of nature and the laws of morality, which are God's laws, are the only authority in creation, how could you possibly believe that any man, woman, or group of men and women have authority? How could you believe in the concept of authority anywhere on the earth at any time period, anywhere in the universe for that matter? The answer is, therein lies the solution. You have to understand there is no authority but the laws of nature. And when I say laws of nature, I mean laws of God. God is nature. It's one and the same. The spiritual realm is the physical realm. They're one and the same. There's no difference between those two things. This is where the religious and scientific thinking has completely gone awry. Science thinking matter is supreme, and religionists thinking spirit is supreme. And, you know, and the physical world doesn't matter. These are the extreme mental imbalances, the mental worldview imbalances that lead to the perpetuation of the current human condition of slavery. That is what fundamentally needs to change. People need to understand the oneness of matter and spirit. They need to understand that freedom is inextricably connected to moral behavior. If you continue to support and condone violence, the entire society is going into bondage. If you understand real freedom and you live like that and you don't cause harm to other people and you don't condone the causing of harm to other people through government, then society will become freer and freer and freer. That's the ultimate answer, the ultimate solution, and that starts in changing the way you think. And the best way of doing that is, one, get your body healthy. Get off all the garbage foods that are out there. Two, get your mind healthy by getting it off all the poison media that's out there in society. Too many people are still television watchers. They sit in front of the television night after night watching garbage, filling their mind with garbage, filling their mind with the constructed and engineered opinions of these think tanks and hierarchical satanic networks that own these corporations and own the media. The mind controllers out there own all that media. Taking it in is poison, you know, and hopefully, obviously, the people who listen to this show understand that, but they need to get that information to all their friends out there who still are television watchers. They need to get good information, get them onto good alternative information, get them reading. That's another part of the problem is people don't read enough. You know, the great work is about first and foremost improving oneself, but then it's about taking the truth to other people and helping them to understand what you've come to understand. So we have to plant seeds. We have to say things without apology, in truth, unapologetically, and let that seed either take root or fall upon unfertile soil, and then so be it. That's that person's karma. You know, I take the approach where I'm going to stand firm in what I understand, what I know, and have come to understand and know and live and apply in my life. And I'm going to help other people to do that, but I'm not going to be an apologist about doing it. And I'm not going to just try to appeal to their delicate sensibilities when I do it. I'm going to give them the real information, and I'm going to talk to them like I would talk to an intelligent adult. Whether they're psychological children or not, you know, again, that's their karma. I'm going to explain it to people the way it is, as I've come to understand it, without, you know, reducing it down to baby food for people. You know, if there's people who want to baby spoon food people and take, you know, 1,000 years to try to transform the society when we might not have another 1,000 hours the way we're going, you know, that's their choice. I see a moral imperative to take this information to other people and just put it out there before them in a completely open way. And then whether they take it in and act upon it is, or whether they ignore it and refuse to act upon it is their own karmic choice and decision. And I think time will tell where society in the aggregate sense in the, is going to go into the future based upon either that acceptance or that rejection of that truth.
Absolutely. And folks, have faith, because the majority of the people out there are good, loving, caring, generous beings, and they just need a little nurturing to get into this situation. Don't be angered by their willful ignorance. Allow them their ignorance, and don't take that into your own personal karma, as Mark is saying. You know,
but also be persistent. You know, you can't give up. Giving up is the wrong way to go as well. We need persistence in the great work. So keep speaking the truth, even if it's rejected at first.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. We can't quit. There's no quitting. Once you know, there's no backing out. You can't go back into the matrix.
That's right.
There's nothing you can do. So, Mark, you're doing Saturday night shows. I think we actually just cut into your time on whatonearthishappening.com. Tell people how they can catch more of Mark Passio.
Absolutely. Every Saturday evening from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time, that's 9 p.m. to midnight Central Time, I host a show on Republic Broadcasting Network called What on Earth is Happening. You could check out the archives of all of my shows. I always recommend going to the podcast of the radio show on my website and listening back from show number one in order at your own progression, you know, at your own pace. Take it in order. It's a stepwise initiatory progression. It's a form of initiation into the mystery traditions of consciousness. It's a form of initiation into the understanding of natural law principles. You could check all of that information out and much, much more, including many, many hours of videos and interviews that I've done on whatonearthishappening.com, my website. Also, please go to freeyourmindconference.com and get your tickets for Free Your Mind 3 coming up in April of 2015, just outside of Philadelphia.
It's going to be a good time, guys. Get out there. It's going to be a heck of a reunion. I know people are coming from all over the world this year, so it's going to be really, really quite an adventure. I'm looking forward to it. So, Mark, thank you so much for giving this time to me and the audience. It's so good to talk to you. I love being filled with your passion, and all I want to do is go out and change the world.
Freeman, thanks so much for inviting me back onto the show. It's a pleasure, as always. I really deeply appreciate all the work that you've done over the years. You're really out there doing a phenomenal job doing the great work. Keep it up. Never give up. And I'm really looking forward to the question and answer session.
Fantastic. All right. Well, you wonderful people have a great weekend, and I will see you next week.